Hallelujah. At this time, the children can be dismissed to go to their classes. Hallelujah. We had announced a special speaker this morning. Marco Turan from Moctezuma was going to be ministering to us today, and his car broke down and he couldn't get here. So we're going to have him come another time. Hallelujah. I've been doing a series on revival. I'm going to continue this morning. We're going to be talking about prayer for revival and prayer's part in revival and what we need to be praying to create an atmosphere for the presence of God to invade a place. Hallelujah. We have seen for many years, I have seen in my spirit, the Spirit of the Lord so hovering over Douglas and being over all over the town to such a measure that people are aware of the presence of God anywhere they are, in their homes, in their work, in their business, that people become aware of the presence of the Lord, that the Lord settles on our town to where people in their heart are so aware of God that they will be crying out, what must I do to find the Lord? What must I do to be saved? And we're going to go along that line. Before we get into the actual teaching, I'm going to read a definition of revival by Duncan Campbell that he had written in his book about the Scottish revival. He was part of that revival. He said, let me tell you what I mean by revival. An evangelistic campaign is not revival. In a successful evangelistic campaign, there will be many people making decisions of Christ, but the community remains untouched, and the churches continue much the same as before the outreach. In revival, God moves in the district. Suddenly, the whole community becomes God conscious. The Spirit of God grips men and women in such a way that people give themselves to waiting on God in prayer. In the midst of the Lewis Awakening, a minister wrote, the Spirit of the Lord was resting wonderfully on the different townships of the region. His presence was in the homes of the people, on the meadow, in the moorland, and even on the public roads. This presence of God is the supreme characteristic of a God-sent revival. God's presence coming into a community is what revival is. Of the hundreds who found Jesus Christ during this time, fully 75% were saved before they came near a meeting or heard a sermon. They called on the Lord where they were. The power of God was moving, and the fear of God gripped the souls of men. This is a God-sent revival where people realize the presence of the Lord is there in such a mighty way that they cry out, God, help me. You know, what can I do to find you? Hallelujah. And I'm going to be going through a series of things that we need to pray for revival to come. And the first thing we're going to talk about is praying for mercy. You know, God, we need your mercy. Amen. And I'm going to be, with every one of these things, I'm going to be praying. And when I pray, I would like you to close your eyes and just pray with me in yourself. Let it get in your heart. Holy Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. And we humbly plead to your mercy upon our lives. We pray for your mercy to be on this church, on Douglas, on Arizona, and on this nation. Lord, help us to understand with a contrite heart that we deserve judgment more than your blessing. This nation has trampled on you, your great name. We have compromised your word. But we plead for your mercy, God, and your forgiveness. Hallelujah. That's a step. First step in revival is calling and pleading for the mercy of God. Not because we deserve it, but because he is merciful. Hallelujah. Daniel. I'm going to read Daniel 9:18 and then go down to verse 20 through 22 in the New King James Version. Hallelujah. You're finding it. It says, Daniel's saying, "Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies." Hallelujah. We're not asking for you to help us because we're worthy. We're asking because you're merciful. We're asking for that mercy. Hallelujah. Verse down to verse 20. "Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God," we'll go to 21 in just a minute, "but he was confessing not only his own sins, but the sins of his nation." And there's a place in revival where we come to the Lord confessing the sins of our nation, confessing our shortcomings before God. That's a first step in repentance. Hallelujah. And Daniel was asking forgiveness for his whole nation. Hallelujah. And then when he asked God, confessed and repented, verse 21 says, "Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision in the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering." So when he cried out to God for mercy, when he cried out to God in repentance, asking God to forgive him and forgive his nation, the angelic host came through. The answer came. Hallelujah. Then next we're going to, in all of these steps, we're going to look at something that in the history of revival, an example of this. During the Reformation, Martin Luther prayed hours every day. One time a spy, the people that were against Martin Luther sent a spy to spy on him. And he came back to the people that had paid him to spy on Martin Luther, and he said, "I followed him. He spent almost the entire night in prayer. There's nothing you can do against a man that prays like that. No power against it." Hallelujah. We're going to read one of his prayers that shows an agony of prayer. "In the morning on the day when he had to make his defense before the Diet of Worms," and this is what Martin Luther prayed. He said, "O Almighty and everlasting God, how terrible is this world, how weak is the flesh, and how powerful is Satan. O God, do help me against all the wisdom of the world, for this is not my work, but thine. The cause is thine, and it is a righteous and eternal cause. O Lord, help me, faithful and unchangeable God." Faithful and unchangeable God. Hallelujah. "Thou hast chosen me for this work, and I know it well. The power..." Hallelujah. "And act then, O God, stand at my side for the sake of thy well-beloved Jesus Christ." He asked God in a passionate way. There's a kind of passionate prayer that receives answers. A passionate prayer, a fervent prayer. When we come to God with all our hearts, he hears us. Hallelujah. Well, God answered this prayer immediately and filled Luther with such strength and wisdom that he won that day the greatest victory in the history of the Reformation. So there is a prayer of crying out to God and calling into God, a fervent prayer. Hallelujah. The next thing that we are going to pray is for a spirit of brokenness and repentance. That's where it starts. Humbleness and repentance before the Lord. And let's close our eyes, and I'm going to pray this prayer. Father God, grant our nation and your people a true godly sorrow that leads us to turn from our wrongful way of living. Fill us with holy fear and reverence for your name. Purify your church. Purify me for your glorious purpose. Hallelujah. You know, we in the United States, well, in every country, but people have lived in sin and they've lived wrong. And there comes a place where we say, God, convict our hearts so that we will start living right in a way that's pleasing to you. We're going to Isaiah 57:15 in the New King James. It says, "For thus says the high and the lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." So God looks for people that have a heart, a contrite and a humble heart before him. We're going now to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and we'll read verse 1, and then later we'll drop down to verse 10. It says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Down to verse 10, it says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." Hallelujah. Godly sorrow brings life. It brings repentance and life and forgiveness. And but the sorrow of the world brings death. And then we're going to James chapter 4, and we're going to read 7 and 8 in the New Living Translation. It says, "So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world." You know, sometimes our loyalty gets divided between God and the world. Hallelujah. And then we have to come before the Lord and say, "God, forgive me." Hallelujah. Because our hearts need to be 100% loyal to God. I'm going to read a story now that about the Moravian revival that happened in the early 17th century. Moravia is now within what's called the Czech Republic. And the minister Roth, in one of their services, the minister Roth was seized in the midst of the assembly with an unusual impulse. He threw himself upon his knees before God, and the whole assembly prostrated themselves with him under the same emotions. An interrupted course of singing and prayer, weeping and supplication continued until midnight, and all hearts were united in love. They came to a place of contriteness before God. They fell to their knees and began to cry out to God. And it went on and on and on and on. Hallelujah. They flowed with the anointing that the Lord had on them. Okay, and then this goes on with the story. Later, the brethren held a communion service. It was full of deep spiritual power and emotion. The whole assembly united in prayer to God. They sung, "My soul before thee prostrate lies, amidst tears and sobs, so it could hardly be distinguished whether they were weeping or singing." The scene was so moving that the pastor could hardly tell what he saw or heard. And so they were having services where they were just broken before God, calling upon God, weeping before the Lord. And they just let that go on and on. They moved with the Spirit in a place of cleansing before God. And this is what happened. A few days later, a remarkable revival took place among the children at Hernhut and Bertzholdorf. All the children at the boarding school were seized with an extraordinary impulse of the Spirit and passed the whole night in prayer. From this time, a constant work of God was going on in the minds of the children in both places. No words can express the powerful operation of the Holy Spirit upon these children. And such a mighty revival broke out in that place that they started having round-the-clock prayer. And they never, it lasted round-the-clock, 24-hour prayer, went on for over 100 years. The revival was so great, that hit, that they prayed and they prayed. They sent missionaries all over the world, and it just went on and on and on. But the people, it started when they were contrite before God, calling upon God, weeping, just being humbled before the Lord and calling on Him in repentance and just being, you know, we just lie at Your feet, Lord. We stay. We're willing to pray a fervent prayer. We're willing to get out of our rut. We're willing to stay as long as You're dealing with us, Lord. We're willing to stay here in Your presence. And there was a desperateness in their prayers that brought forth a move of God that shook the earth at that time. Another thing that we need to pray is for boldness, holiness, and power. And let's pray. Father, mighty God, make Your word and Spirit alive in us. Give us renewed passion for Yourself. Give us a burning passion to seek Your face and a holy boldness and a burning passion to live without compromise. Hallelujah. Amen, Lord. Amen. Birth in us a desperateness for You, God. Birth in us a longing for You, passion for You. We're going now to Ephesians 6:19, New King James. And it says, as for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So for revival to spread, we need to have boldness. And we need to pray, God, open my mouth to speak boldly for You. And then verse 10 says Ephesians 6, 9. Okay, on we're going now to 1 Corinthians 2:4. And it says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So we need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need boldness, but we need the power of the Holy Ghost, where we're not just talking out of our head or from us, but that we're speaking anointed words from the Father as we talk to people, that we let the river of life flow through us that's in there. He's in there. The Holy Spirit's in there. God's presence is in there. And what we need is the anointing of the Holy Ghost to let that power of the Spirit flow out as we're talking to people, that it not just be empty words or ideas or thoughts, but that it be anointed from the Holy Ghost, that rivers of living water will flow out of us from our innermost being. Hallelujah. That we're not just talking from up here, but that we're flowing out from our spirit man. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. And number 4, we need to pray for a return to fervent prayer. I grew up in revival days, and I remember we spent hours and hours and hours in prayer. And it's like when the Holy Spirit is present, time just disappears. You know, it's not a drudgery to stay and stay and stay. It's not a sacrifice. When the presence of the Lord is there, you want to be there in His presence. You just long to just keep soaking it up. I remember many, many times when I was growing up in our circle of believers, we had all-night prayer meetings, and we would pray and pray and pray and pray all night. And we prayed loud, and we prayed fervently. And God moved, and He moved, and He moved, and He moved. And we saw the flow of the Holy Ghost. And I think right now we're in that place of needing to pray for fervency, that we're willing, hallelujah, and anointed and willing to move with God to break into that place of a fervent prayer. Hallelujah. God, please give your church, give me a burning hunger for your presence and a passion for effectual and fervent prayer. Draw us nearer to you, giving us clean hands and pure hearts. Lord, give us a hunger and thirst for you above all else. Transform the heart of your church. Transform my family and me to become a house of prayer for all nations. God, let my home be a house of prayer for all nations. Let it be. Let this place, let this physical place, Father, become a house of prayer for all nations, that this will be a place of standing in the gap, of standing before the throne of God for our earth, hallelujah, for our land, hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and seek after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Hallelujah. When we get really hungry naturally, do we go look for something to eat? You know, we say, yeah, I'm starving. I need food. You know, we pursue what we're hungry for, and we want to have a hunger for God that won't stop, a hunger that's a consuming hunger for more of God and to be in his presence and to draw on him. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for it. James 4:8-10. It says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and he will lift you up." Hallelujah. In the Jonathan Edwards revival in England in the early 1700s, Edwards reveals the secret of this revival. He said, "The spirit of those that have been in distress for the souls of others, so far as I discern, seems not to be different from that of the apostle who travailed for souls. On the evening of the day preceding the outbreak of revival, some Christians met and they spent the whole night in prayer." It was a call to pray. They spent all night praying. "There was scarcely a person in the town," that was Northampton, "old or young, left unconcerned about the great things of the eternal world. The work of conversion was carried on in a most astonishing manner and increased more and more. Souls came by flocks to the Lord." Hallelujah. This work of God soon made a glorious alteration in the town, so that in the spring and summer following, the town seemed to be full of the presence of God. It was never so full of love nor of joy. You know, when the presence of the Lord comes in, there's love, there's joy. It's wonderful. And I have seen this in my spirit for Douglas for so long, that the presence of the Lord resting on the whole town, that people will be aware of the presence of God and begin to call out to God in their homes where they are. You know, and I think the place where we are right now, God's getting ready to call us into a travailing prayer, into a desperate prayer, into a birthing prayer. Travail bursts moves of God. Travail bursts the Spirit of the Lord. It releases it into a place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think sometimes we're too lackadaisical and concerned. When you go to Walmart, how many of the people do you meet that if they died that moment would go to hell? What does it mean to be lost? How important is it for people to be born again, to know of life? How much do we care? How much do we care? Hallelujah. We need to pray for unity in the church and restored families. There's great power in unity and great weakness in division. Father God, please instill a loving and kingdom unity in your church and harmony among your people. Give us, Lord, one heart and one mind to love you and to love one another. Help us in humility to tear down the strongholds of disunity and serve together in fulfilling your kingdom purpose in this land. Bring a heart of love, forgiveness, and reconciliation to Christian families everywhere, including my own family. Restore in us a steadfast heart toward you and a strong desire to be part of your building of your kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for a spirit of unity. We just thank you for a spirit of unity among the Christians in our community, Lord, that we stop being in competition with one another, that we stop ridiculing and talking bad about one another. Father, but you change the heart of your people in this town to have a servant's heart, to wash their feet, to love them, to say, what can I do to help you? What can I do to bless your life? Father, we just thank you for blessing our homes with unity, for bringing down the walls, for there to be forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for unity. We thank you for unity. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts chapter 2, it says they were all in one place, in one accord. They were in unity, and the Holy Spirit fell, and it changed things. When there's unity, God has an atmosphere to work in. Hallelujah. We're going to read some scriptures. John 13, 34 and 35, New King James. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Hallelujah. Love is what shows the world that we are Christians. Hallelujah. John 17, 20 and 21. Jesus prayed. This was Jesus praying. And Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus wants us to be one with him and one with one another. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 in the New Living Translation. He said, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Hallelujah. Remember, I read the story about the Moravian revival, where it just lasted and affected the whole world. Well, that area right there, all those little townships in that area, and within the town itself, they were fighting with each other all the time. They, no matter what they could do, they couldn't get along. They were just bickering and bickering and bickering and bickering, and there was just a fighting. Well, one of the counts that was there, Count Zinzendorf, it was grieving his heart, and he said, God, what can I do? And he began to go, and he talked to the people, and he prayed with the people, and he went all over to all the families in the area saying, lay down your weapons. begin to love one another. And they were brought together from a place of a long time antagonism. There had been antagonism in their community for years and years. And he got it on his heart, and he went and he began to talk to people. And it said, in a short time, they all, with great joy, gave themselves afresh to God and promised to bury their disputes forever. Hallelujah. And then that revival fell that really changed the world. And number six, we need to pray for a passion for souls and God and God's love and purpose. And Lord, we pray that you will fill your church with a burning passion for those who are lost and dying without Christ. Give us the same singleness of heart and purpose that you gave Jesus. Lord, just plant in our hearts. Lord, birth in our hearts, even today. Birth in our hearts a love for souls and a love for the lost. Father, just birth it in our hearts. Change our hearts today, Father, to really care about lost humanity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 9, 1 through 3. New King James. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, for my countrymen according to the flesh. Look how Paul's heart was moved toward his people. God, move our hearts. Set our hearts on fire where we are really moved for the people of our community, where it's real to us, where we, you know, we just say, well, Lord, I wish that they could be saved. I would be lost if you could just save them. Hallelujah. There's a passion for souls that God wants us to have. And of course, we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. God, he gave his son because he loved us. That was just awesome to think, here he's up there, he owns the universe, he created everything. But because of his love for his creation that he created, he sent Jesus to be the sacrifice so that we could come to him. Matthew 28:18-19, it was the Jesus' last words. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 1:8, and it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When the Lord left, he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us so we could be bold, so we could be witnesses. So, you know, and it's not in our strength. It's when we live from our spirit man that's within us. When we live from there, when we flow from our spirit man, hallelujah, we, you know, we have the power to speak his name. We have the authority to speak in the name of Jesus life words, words that will bring life. In 1559, John Knox, the Scottish reformer, was a mighty man of prayer, and here's an example of how he prayed. He said, O Lord, give me Scotland or I die. After a time of stillness, again the cry, Oh Lord, give me Scotland or I die. And then once more he waited in silence a long time and he hollered out, God, give me Scotland or I die. Well, God gave him Scotland. If ever the man And the hour struck together. It was when John Knox landed in Scotland in 1559 and commenced his history-changing preaching tour. His trumpet-like call sounded over mountain and moor, and within a few weeks, the chief centers of Scotland were all won for God. Within a few weeks, he won all of Scotland to the Lord. But he had a cry in his heart that would not be denied. He had a cry from deep in his soul that would not be denied. He wanted Scotland born again and saved more than he wanted his own life. Are we willing to say, God, give me Douglas or I'll die. Give me this city. Give me this city. Are we willing to agonize in prayer for our city until we see the heavens opened and the glory of the Lord fall down? I that's what I've seen in my spirit for so long, that at least 90% of the town born again, that the bars will be closed because no one's drinking anymore. That the drug dealers will get saved, that those that use drugs will get saved, and the whole face of the town will change. Oh God, give me Douglas. Give us Douglas. Thank you, Jesus. We need to pray for an increase of laborers. God, empower your people to burn with passion to fulfill your kingdom purpose in the place where you've planted us. Grant us a fiery zeal to expand your kingdom. Yes, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Matthew 9, 37 through 38. I'm going to read it in the New Living. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field." And we need to pray for, we need to pray for a sweeping revival in the church and throughout this community and this nation. And we're going to pray, and please pray with me in your hearts. God, we ask you to open the heavens and send forth your awesome manifest presence. We ask you to reveal your undeniable goodness and the power of your salvation to Douglas, to Arizona, to this nation, and to the whole world, bringing multitudes to your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you to arise and reveal yourself even greater than any previous awakening. Mighty God, we pray for a great harvest of souls in this generation. We pray for a great shaking of the Spirit, a great movement. We pray for a tsunami wave of your presence to sweep this country, this land. Father, we pray for the United States of America. Father, we have killed thousands and thousands and millions of newborn and unborn babies. Father, we have denied your word and went against your word as a nation, and we ask for your mercy upon our nation. God, we ask for your mercy upon our nation. We ask, Lord, for your presence to fall and sweep across our land. We ask for the presence of God, his manifest presence, to be so strong that people will be aware of an amazing, awesome God of mercy. And they will begin to cry out in their beds, on their cars, that they will begin to cry out, "Oh God, what must I do to be saved?" Father, we just ask you, Oh, to send your spirit, to send your anointing. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We come. Father, we ask. I ask you this day that you plant in our spirits this day an anointing to pray, an anointing to travail until we see the victory and the presence of the Lord come like a mighty river across our land. Father, we cry to you. We cry to you. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Isaiah 64:1-3. Oh Lord, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. As fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, so make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down and the mountains shook at your presence. Oh, Father, come down. Open the heavens, rend the heavens, and come down. Let your presence fill this place. Let your presence fill my life. God, let your presence fill my life. Let your presence fill this church. Father, let your presence fill this town. Oh, Father, we cry to you for your mercy, for your love. Father, Douglas has sinned against you. Father, we've trafficked drugs. We've laundered money. We've had crooked officials. Father, but we ask for your mercy upon our town. We ask for your mercy and your loving kindness that you will move upon the people of this community. That there come an awareness of your presence and an awareness of the need for a living God. Father, we ask that you pour out your presence as a mighty river that will sweep this valley with your presence, that multitudes will come into the kingdom of God. Father, thank you that you have brought us to such a time as this, where your glory might be known and your glory might be shown. I would like everybody to just stand to your feet. And raise your hands to heaven. And say, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, send me. Birth in me a passion for things that you're passionate about. God, you're passionate about people. You're passionate about souls. Birth it in me, Lord. Birth it in me. Birth your passion in me. Birth your love in my heart for the people of this community. Oh, change our hearts, Lord. Change our hearts. Move upon our hearts. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, thank you. Yeah.